Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me because I am going to share with you the reason I've been spending all this time on the subject of kingdom economics, kingdom principles in finances. You'd say, where are you going with this? Well, basically, we are those of us who desire and love the Lord with all of our hearts. We're pursuing perfection. That's the goal and the motivation of the Holy Spirit. He wants to present God's people before the Lord, without spot, stain, or wrinkle, that we're to reach the perfection, the maturity, the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus, as it says in Ephesians. That's why fivefold ministry is given. So that's His desire. And this might not be a message for everyone. There are those that no matter what you say, no matter how much scripture you share, there's a spirit of covetousness and greed, and they're just not able to be able to release this area for whatever reasons, greed, covetousness, or perhaps fear that somehow maybe God won't supply for them. You know, the Word does talk about 30, 60, and 100-fold Christians. But as far as I'm concerned, beloved, what I want to be is a 100-fold Christian. Jesus gave an incredible command in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48. And in fact, this first message I ever preached on this particular verse, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Beloved, what a command. And He would never ask anything of us that was impossible. He wasn't asking us to be sinless, because He knows that until the day we're with Him, we will fall, not with intent, but we will sin, we will make mistakes. But thank God, His blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we repent. But beloved, God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be generous and compassionate, benevolent. What does benevolence mean? It means the disposition to do good. It's an act of generosity or kindness. Now, I'd like us to look at Matthew, the 19th chapter, and I'm going to begin at verse 16 through 21. And behold, one came and said unto Him, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good that is God, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, the man did, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Yeah, I guess he must suspect there may have been something. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. To give away his resources. My goodness, that's what Jesus was asking. Is he asking his servants to do that? No, he's not, but what he lacked was his willingness to release it if God asked, to realize it wasn't his, but it was only a gift from God that he was to steward. And in Luke, the 18th chapter, hear what Jesus said. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And what does 23 say? And when he heard this, the young man, rich young man, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And by this, Jesus was meaning those who held on to their riches as if they were theirs. So God is looking for those who will love him, who will serve him. See, let's go now to Luke, the 12th chapter, and I want to read verses 32-34. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where neither thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse 17, the word says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You can't outgive God. He who is gracious to the poor, another translation says, is lending to the Lord. He will repay him for his benevolent action. And so, beloved, as we begin to draw these thoughts to a conclusion, we've got two world systems. We've got the system of this world, which Satan dominates, or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord's economics, if you will. And the world system is selfish, it's acquiring, it's greedy, it's materialistic, they're fearful, anxious for the future. They hold on to things because they're afraid of what the economy might do, what the future might hold. But beloved, in God's kingdom, we operate not only by love, which is agape love, God's kind of love, but beloved, we operate by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Beloved, we have to understand that God owns everything. He is divine owner of all creation. Psalm 24:1 says, The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And look what the Lord said to the Israelites when they came into the land of Canaan. He said, The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, and ye are strangers and sojourners with me. God's people were stewards or caretakers, if you will, of the land, and this understanding applied to their property, their money, and everything else they treasured. All belonged to God. You know, that was also true among the Native American culture in this nation. They didn't own things as far as property. They didn't have fences and property rights. They realized everything belonged to Creator God. And as such, they were very careful in the stewardship of it. They didn't kill wantonlessly. They, for example, that's one of the ways the Indians were decimated, because the white man just brutally and needlessly slaughtered the buffalo, their source of not only food, but they used every portion of the buffalo because that was important. They saw it as a treasure from their Creator. And so, beloved, we have to understand everything belongs to God. And Jesus's teachings, his teachings on kingdom economics, if you will, called us to demonstrate a single-hearted devotion to God in all of the things that we pursue materialistically or economically. Jesus said, if you would give, and men would freely give into your bosom, all shall be added to you. That's what he said. And when the disciples were sent out to preach, Jesus specifically commanded them at that point when he first sent them out, they took no money. They took no clothing, and he established the principle that each man would be worthy of his support, those who were ministering about the things of the altar, through the material goods of God's people. And in the early church, we see how this was operating. We know that Christ laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hear what 1 John, the third chapter, verse 16 says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And therefore, therefore is not in the scripture, because he's done this, beloved, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. So, beloved, what motivates us should be the agape love of God, his compassion. Just as Jesus was moved, his heart was moved with compassion for the multitudes, so we also ought to do that. We ought to be committed, devoted to missions. Not all of us can go to the foreign mission field, but we can certainly support missionaries, as this ministry does. I shared personal things a few broadcasts ago. 20% we give into missions. Why? Because they can go where we can't. We support a dear friend, a missionary who he worked with me in Duck Valley. He is now ministering full-time in Nepal. And so, beloved, we ought to care for the world. We want to be willing to fulfill that great commission that the gospel can be preached where we can't go. But also, beloved, we have to understand that we also have a mission field right here in this country. We are not exempt. We need to be ambassadors. We need to be evangelists and ministers for the cause of Christ, right where God placed us. Amen. Well, with the Lord's help, you may not believe it, but I think I'm going to conclude this on tomorrow's broadcast. We want to look at a few more things, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. However, at this point in time, I would like to encourage you to be blessed by the Lord, sharing your prayer requests. I'll not only pray for you, but send you back a letter that I know will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. And from time to time, invite you to become a part of my spiritual family. If you've been listening, I do not appeal for finances in my letters. I don't mention them. I want this ministry to be a ministry of blessing and encouragement. And because that's where my heart is focused, God has abundantly supplied the needs for over 50 years of full-time ministry. I love you. Thank you for joining me. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.